hearing, listening is perhaps one of the most essential parts of our life of faith. Think about the Word as we have received it. The Word spoken, heard. It begins with God saying, "Let there be," and day by day, there was. God speaks. Even creation hears, whether that spoken part of God is in a word or in the silence. Listening. We worship a God who listens. And perhaps one of the most foundational parts of the story as we have received it, there were a captive people, slaves in Egypt, who cry out to no one in particular. And Scripture says, God heard. Hearing is essential. Faith that God hears, but also a faithfulness of listening. In fact, as I say many times, the word obedience is an auditory word, like the word which is similar, audience. An audience are those who are gathered in one place who listen. Obedience is a faithful listening. In fact, leaning in the direction of the voice so much that you lean and you cannot help, but your body follows. That is what obedience is. And listening is essential. This morning we have a groundbreaking scripture for Luke, the evangelist, the gospel storyteller, in which Jesus lays out his mission. And he does so in a very familiar place. Were you listening? He came home after having, well, we don't know all the details of what led from his childhood to his adulthood. We just, in the Gospels, have this time of him coming after preparing to the river and being baptized by John. And then going off into the wilderness for 40 days and being tempted, being refined by fire. And then his ministry, which gets but a verse or two in Luke's gospel, because Luke assumes that we perhaps know some of the things that have come up to this point. We come to Jesus coming to his own hometown, where he is known, the place where he was raised as his father's son. And it says, were you paying attention? Were you listening? That he came to the synagogue as was his custom. Regularity. Week in, week out on the Sabbath, being faithful. That says something to us about trying to bring a sense of regularness, a sense of, and I know in this day and age, that is not always an easy thing to do. And when we talk about coming to church on a weekly basis, we don't say so on, you know, in a way to induce guilt, but to encourage good habits, knowing that bad habits are very hard to break. But so are good habits, once you get established into their regularity. And Jesus, as was his custom, came to the synagogue, this synagogue in which he had grown, a synagogue literally being a congregation like what ours is. Do you know what constitutes a synagogue, a congregation? Do you know in the law, in the revealed will of God, what it takes to constitute a synagogue? Anybody? What is needed? What? What? 10. In a synagogue. Now, when Jesus said, wherever two or more. But it took 10, and forgive me, women, 10 men back in the day. Probably meant, men and all that went along with them. Okay, so kind of 10 families. That's what constituted a synagogue. And a synagogue was different from the temple. And there's a movement within Judaism, I don't want to get into all of that right now, but a movement within Judaism away from the temple and into what currently is Jewish practice. A synagogue is made up more of lay people, not the kind of the professional holy guys who do all the ritualistic stuff. The synagogues were led usually by someone who was sort of like a president of the synagogue, or may have been a rabbi. May have been a Pharisee. Pharisees being the predecessors of the rabbis of today, the teachers. And you had assistants and stuff like this, but there was a regularity of it every week, every Sabbath, gathering together, and there was sort of a pattern that was followed. Usually, they began with the Shema. Now, do I have any of my membership class people? Beth, you remember what Shema means? You don't remember? Remember? Listen! That's right. The Shema from Deuteronomy and a few other places. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel. Remember, listening is foundational. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is your God, the Lord alone. Even Jesus spoke those words when he was asked, what's the greatest commandment? And after that he said, do you remember? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your strength. I mean, with everything that you are. And then he added something else. He said, and the second is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The Shema, listen. That's the beginning of worship. That's the beginning of the gathering. Listen. There usually was a psalm read, and whether it be in the form of singing, because the psalms are the songbook, but it's also the prayer book of the Bible. And you would read usually a portion of the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. Now remember, when I say five books, we have to get out of our head, this kind of book, and remember that it wasn't in this what were the books of the Bible on. Anyone? Scrolls. So you heard from the Torah, and then you would usually hear from what they call the Haftarah, which is the prophets. And here is Jesus. He stands just like any man, and it usually was back in the day a man. And usually every man was expected to read in public. Some of you are going, no. That's not going to happen until something freezes over. I got to tell you, it was pretty cold this morning when I took my walk. But anyways, like everyone else and everybody, as he is walking up to the area, and it probably wasn't raised steps or anything, but probably was an area where he could spread out the scroll, because he was handed the scroll of Isaiah. Now, we don't know whether there was a reading plan, whether they were saying, well, you need to start reading here, because every week going through a particular section. We don't know if there was a reading plan like there is today. It says that he opened up the scroll and he found the place. and he read. And I guess as I come to that, I choose to think that that was Jesus' choice. There was purpose in him choosing these words that echo a song that his mom sang before he was even born. You look at the beginning of Luke's gospel, you'll find it. This could be seen as Jesus' mission statement. And so it's important for us to listen, because if it's Jesus' mission statement, do you suppose that maybe it should be our mission statement as well? Bring good news to the poor. Proclaim release to the captives. Literally, these are indebted people who are imprisoned because of their debts. Because if you couldn't pay back in that day, they threw you into prison and you'd be there until you pay back, which generally meant, well, you were in there for a long, long, long time, because how could you make money if you were in prison? Awaiting the Jubilee year, every 25th year. No, well, no, it's 20. The Jubilee year, if you look to Leviticus 25, when debts were to be forgiven. So Jesus was essentially proclaiming the year of Jubilee in this. Playing release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, letting the downtrodden, the oppressed, you know, taking the yoke off their back, letting them go free, and to proclaim the Jubilee year, the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus' mission statement. Now it says that, well, it doesn't say he then preached, but that's essentially what he did. He rolled up the scroll, gave it to the attendant, and sat down. Would you like it if I preached sitting down? But you probably would like the next part. Here was his sermon. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Some of you would say, yes, amen! You know, that's it. Yeah. Of course, there's more to the story here. But the people heard, and they were surprised. They were amazed. That surprise could go either way, positive or negative. They were remembering whose kid this was. They probably remembered the little snotty-nosed kid. I mean, because all kids get colds. Who ran around. A kid who stood beside his father learning the trade. A kid who was there in the synagogue learning how to read the scriptures, to pay attention, listening, learning how to listen. They were surprised. And you know, hearing can go in a number of ways. We can hear positively, and we can pay attention to the word, and we can lean into it. Or we can hear negatively and move in the opposite direction. I'll let you read the rest of the story to see what happened there if you don't know already. But I'll give you a hint. They weren't cheering him on when he left town. Listening is essential in our life of faith. Of course, listening involves more than just letting something go in one ear and out the other. Listening involves letting the word or even the silence go in and stick. Sometimes we have trouble with the sticking for a variety of reasons. For some of us, it's because we're getting older and we get forgetful. But praise God, we've got this thing called remember. 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 And every week, we gather together because we all need, not just to hear for the first time, but to remember what we've heard. And then we move from hearing to doing.